And now it's time for the Chatham County Roundup, presented by Weaver Street Realty, specializing in local real estate since 1982. Every story is set somewhere. Theirs is right here. And right here is Aaron Hall of WCHL to take over with the Chatham County Roundup today. Aaron, how's it going?
I'm well, Aaron. How are you?
I'm doing good.
We got a busy schedule right now, so I'm going to get right to it.
All right.
My two guests today on the Chatham County Roundup, I'm very happy to have here today. I have the executive director of the Hispanic Liaison, Miss Alana Dubester from Siler City, North Carolina. And I also have playwright and director Mike Wiley, who has a couple of productions coming up, Piece of Clay, a reflection sharing our story, and a production called The Fire of Freedom. We'll start with Mike Wiley. Mike Wiley, how are you today?
I'm doing very well,
thanks for
my
being
friend.
With us.
Thanks for being here. UNC grad, right?
Absolutely.
You got a couple of performances coming up here, and very timely with Black History Month, although Black History Month is also every month. I'd like to highlight what you have going on. So tell us what you have coming up.
Yeah, for the public, because you know I'm in the schools every day of the week presenting my touring shows, but for the public, next weekend on the 23rd, there is a stage reading of a new play by Howard Kraft and myself. It's called Piece of Clay. It's going to be at the Living Arts Collective at 7:30 p.m. that night. It's a coming-of-age story, a young black teenager growing up in a fictional town here in North Carolina in the late 80s, the early days of hip-hop. It's got a little bit of comedy. It's got a lot of heart to it. And then the following day, if you didn't get enough of me and you didn't get enough of Howard Kraft,
we're only just getting started.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. On the following day at the Friday Center, I will be presenting Howard Kraft's solo play, The Fire of Freedom, which is about Abraham Galloway, a pretty fantastic individual who was one of North Carolina's first representatives. He was a Union spy, he was an escaped slave, and he was a pistol, a firebrand.
awesome. And so to keep track with what you have going on, MikeWileyProductions.com.
Exactly. MikeWileyProductions.com.
I'm glad that we're able to get you in. And will you come back and spend more time with us on Chatham County Roundup?
Please, absolutely.
And you are a Chatham County native, or you live in Chatham County
I
right
do.
Now, right?
I live in Chatham County.
You're a Chatham County native right now. You're there right now.
That's right.
Now, a lot of people in Chatham County going, that's not how it works at all.
That is how it works in Chatham County now. All right, so my second guest, Alana Dubester. And Alana, I see you. I've been at many of your events and lots of things when you stand up in the community for Latino rights and for the rights of those who go underserved. Tell us what's been going on. And let's start with there have been some massive ICE raids in Siler City, Chatham County. Tell us about it.
Yeah, that's true. So let's just correct that. They have not been in Siler City or Chatham County, so
okay.
For the record. But there have been massive ICE raids all around us. It all started on Tuesday morning with a Homeland Security investigation raid at Bear Creek Arsenal, a plant in Sanford, that impacted Chatham County families. We were working with about 8 or 9 families impacted by that raid, and where 30 employees were arrested. And then that same day or the following day, they started regular ICE started massive raids around the area from Charlotte through the Triad and the Triangle. And they arrested an additional 200 people in those raids in our region. And an unprecedented move. They did a press conference that we posted on our Facebook page. ICE did a press conference about these raids. And they were making pretty clear that they're calling this our new normal in North Carolina. Mm. They basically amassed their agents from their southern region to come to North Carolina, and even were explicit in talking about this being a retaliation for the election of progressive sheriffs in our counties that decided to terminate agreements called the 287G agreements.
And there was a recent county, not Wake, although I will say my cousin, Sheriff Gerald Baker, did say that he would not continue that. But mm-hmm. another county, can you help me out?
Mecklenburg, all right. Yeah. Orange has continued to not participate.
Exactly. And so that, of course, is very troubling. This is a way of, I think they're trying to send a message in North Carolina, but to sheriffs across the nation. Most sheriffs across the nation are not part of 27G agreements, but they were, you know, it's a way of also kind of, you know, impacting our decisions as voters to elect progressive sheriffs to terminate agreements and saying, no, our vote is not good enough. So here's what we're going to show you for electing these good folks. So yeah, we're all very concerned about what does they mean by this new normal, and are scrambling, all of us, many organizations getting together and collaborating to do a response to the families. Particularly, this is our focus right now, is helping the families impacted by the raids, but then looking at the long term, what are we going to do to combat these attacks against our community?
And you do an event, the legal fair, that focuses around this and many other rights and making, giving access to legal aid and other information. Can you tell us about the legal fair that you have coming up, and when will it be?
So our next legal fair will be on Saturday, April 6th. And we're hosting it at Jordan Matthews High School in Siler City. And the legal fair will be obviously on immigration, but this year we're trying to expand it a little to include housing rights, labor rights, and family law as well, because it's another issue that a lot of folks come to our office to talk about. And we'll offer workshops and plenary sessions, an expo of legal services, private legal services, as well nonprofits and other nonprofits that want to participate to do outreach, and individual consultations with attorneys, and primarily immigration attorneys. These are free consultations that last year we had 10 volunteer attorneys that were able to offer 45 free consultations during the legal fair. Also DACA renewal, so it's either or, consultation or DACA renewal. So we just got approved yesterday to rent a school. So getting the word out, and attorneys are already reaching out to us to say, when is next legal fair? So it's nice to have that recognition. So hope to have a really good one this year.
And I know we here at WCHL, we stay up with the events and activities happening in Chatham County. I heard you mention, Aaron, during your segment regarding the Hispanic liaison and some relationships that we have in mirroring what you have. So you do have the support and the eyes and ears of WCHL as well. What are some of the other events that you have come up? Now, I enjoy the, I was at the fair, I've been at the festival a couple of years. So tell us about some of the other events you have coming up, how people can reach and how they can participate and be involved in fundraisers.
Okay, so the main thing that's happening right now in terms of helping the impacted families is a joint effort between El Vínculo Hispano, or Hispanic Liaison, and El Centro Hispano of Durham and Carrboro. So we joined forces to create a fund, which is a regional fund for legal defense for families impacted by this ICE raid. So our fund covers Lee, Chatham, Orange, Durham, and Wake and Randolph counties. If folks reach out to us from other counties, we'll channel them to the appropriate organization that's handling it. But so this fundraiser called Liberation Not Deportation is live now. We're trying to raise at a minimum $30,000 to help families with detained relatives who may have a chance of applying for some kind of adjustment of status in terms of immigration and be able to be released from detention, and to help pay their legal fees. $30,000 with that many people arrested is going to be not a huge amount of money for families. So we really want to encourage people to really, donate as much as they possibly can. So these funds will be paid to attorneys that are representing them. So part of what we are doing as organizations is also channeling folks or connecting folks to attorneys that we consider trustworthy, and those have offered reduced rates, and some are taking some pro bono cases as well. We have a whole list of attorneys that have stepped up to help the impacted community members. And so this will help pay their legal fees.
The fund went active this week. What's the reaction been?
Oh, it's been great. I've been crazy busy today, but I think we might be at close to 10,000.
Wow.
Right now. It went live on Saturday. Let me see if I can tell you where we are right now. Just take a second.
If you're at $10,000, that's a great raising in a short amount of time. I'll certainly
we are 11,478. Yay, people.
Very nice.
A lot of folks have reached out and say, how can we help the families? And really, this is the main way right now to help the families. We are all in the process of doing intake and screening and interviewing the families impacted. Later on, we might find out that there are specific needs for specific families that we'll be able to post if people can contribute in other ways. But right now, really is helping with the legal fees for their family members.
What can people do beyond that? I mean, there's helping the families, and then there's speaking out on the issue
Certainly.
As well. So what can people do to get involved?
So, yeah, so if you, I don't have it up on my Facebook page yet. It just came through. But there's a petition circulating to the governor's office, that's organizational petition to address these issues of these ICE raids. I know that the folks in the Triad, American Friends Service Committee, is also taking volunteers to help monitor ICE activity. And aside from that, there was another message today that, let me see if I can look it up. Sorry. So right now I think this is what's concerning to us, that if this is going to be really an ongoing activity on the part of ICE, is that certainly we're going to have to develop other strategies. Our focus on families right now, but in the long term, we also need to have to be more prepared as a community in terms of rapid response. Most likely be other opportunities for people to get engaged. Right now it's a little hard when we are working to try and identify the families impacted, interview them, work with them, help them, and then we'll have more information soon.
And I'll say, because I stacked the deck today, because one thing I know is that both Mike and Alana, I see them in the communities, in the schools. So I'll ask you both, you guys were talking before we came on the air, how important is it to have this overlapping, seeing Mike in the schools, working the community in Siler City, and having the relationship with organizations like the Hispanic Liaison? How important is that to the overall community? Mike, you can answer it.
Well, I think that the young people seeing us in the community, but also seeing us out and about in the community, and getting as much coverage as you possibly can. When you get that much coverage and you're able to affect as many young people and people of all ages, really, as you possibly can, that's when you are able to affect change. When more people are talking about it, when more people are committed to it, when more people see themselves as a link in the chain, as opposed to looking over the chasm, then more people are willing to be a part of it.
Yeah, no, on the outside looking in. So, Mike, tell us one more time, where can we see you coming up, those two shows you have coming up?
Piece of Clay, February 23rd at the Living Arts Collective in Durham at 7:30, and the Friday Center on February 24th at 3 o'clock with The Fire of Freedom.
And Alana, how can we find you? Twitter, Facebook, our website? How can we find you if people want to donate and help?
So, website, www.hispanicliaison.org. On Facebook, we are evhnc.org, or if you just type in Hispanic Liaison, it should come up as well. On our website, you can link to our Facebook page or our Twitter feed. You can also sign up for news. You just put a little bit of contact information, and we'll put you on our email list, and I promise you will not get swamped. I'm in charge of it. And so it's a sporadic email list. You can always opt out. And so I wanted to also let folks know there's also an opportunity to sign on, and we'll be putting that on our Facebook page shortly. In support of the sheriffs that have been singled out by ICE, as well as one condemning the actions of ICE in our state. Mm-hmm. So, and want to just put a tiny shout out to, you know, a sad coincidence that we had started our Valentine's fundraising campaign for the Hispanic Liaison the day before the ICE raids. And unfortunately, we can't forego that campaign because we are a very small organization, only 3 staff members doing a lot of really hard work. So we are trying to raise some funds as well to be able to help the community, all of our programs, but really a bit more strapped now that we have so many more families and this fund to deal with. So ours is called Show the Love, and it's only through the end of February. So folks are interested in donating to that as well as to the families. make a stretch. And if you're connected to another organization that's helping families, please donate to them as well. Everybody is in need of support and love right now.
Well, I know you have the support of WCHL, and I know you have support of the hardest working man in radio, Mr. Aaron Keck.
Is that me?
That is you.
I don't think so.
I'm looking at your schedule.
This says a lot about other people in radio. HispanicLiaison.org for more on Elvin Kulo Hispano, and MikeWileyProductions.com for more on Mike Wiley, including those upcoming shows. Everyone, thank you so much.
Thank you, Aaron Keck.
This has been the Chatham County Roundup. Made possible by Weaver Street Realty, specializing in local real estate since 1982. Every story is set somewhere. Theirs is right here. Find them online at weaverstreetrealty.com.